All right, welcome back to Menace Podman. Once again, I am Scott Keller, along with Steve St. Pierre. We're at NBA Week 21, Fantasy Week 20, and this is Episode 11. I can't believe we're actually already at Episode 11.
Just been flying, man. It's been awesome.
Yeah, I guess time truly flies when you're having fun.
Yes, sir.
Anyways, just a couple of pieces of housekeeping to get out of the way first. I was on vacation there a bit for just over a week, so wasn't putting any picks out on Twitter, but started, got a new one up tonight or for today's games on Thursday. And going forward, obviously, I will not be on vacation any longer, unfortunately. So those picks will be up there every day. And we make our picks with the help of Outlier to Bet, where you can find everything you need as far as trends and insights. They got an easy to use app. I use it every day. You can use their desktop site if you prefer. And if you want to find out more, you can get a 7-day free trial. Just click on the link on our Twitter page and it'll take you right there. Also, just wanted to mention that Anchor, which we normally have been providing the podcast through, is now called Spotify for Podcasters. All the original links, all still the same on Twitter and whatnot. So you can get to everything just the same as you usually do. So you probably won't notice anything, but if you see a little different, URL or something like that, that's why.
Sounds good.
All right. So I got all that stuff out of the way. And let's see. Where do we start? We start with...
Name on your paper, first thing.
The first thing.
Every time.
So the first thing of the day, we obviously need to talk and focus on the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
I don't know which one you want to start with. I guess I've been very vocal. I don't like the Memphis Grizzlies. I've talked about that on the podcast many times. I think they're a complete fake team, and I think they're undisciplined. And them being a number two team in the West, I don't think they're going anywhere. And especially... I said that without Steven Adams, and I guess we'll probably get into that too here.
Well, if you thought that they were undisciplined before, the news about John Morant probably takes that to a whole other level.
Yep.
I don't know how in depth we want to go. Obviously a lot of stuff going on with him. He's got a lot of personal issues he has going on. We can dive into that if you want to, but in terms of for fantasy and in terms of news, he is going to miss at least 6 games. He's missed a couple already, and he's their leader. You know, he's their point guard, and without him, they're going to have a tough time. But there's more going on with that team than just him, but we obviously need to start right there with him first and foremost.
Yeah, I guess personally myself, even before this little incident here with the Instagram Live stuff, I liked Ja Morant as a player, but I never really cared for his personality. He seemed to be a little showboaty, flashy, and talk a lot, but it seems that the Memphis Grizzlies like to talk a lot.
Yeah, for sure. I think they thrive off of that. But, I've always liked him in terms of how he talks. I've always liked when they interview him. I always thought that he sounded more mature. You know, like, he sounded a lot older than he really is. But you're right. They talk a lot of smack, their entire team. But to their credit, they kind of feed off that. You know, they thrive off of it. And, you know, they're in third place right now. They're going to make the playoffs. But, you know, are they going to be ready to compete once the playoffs start? Are they going to be healthy? We'll get into all of that. But, yeah, it's a bad situation right now. And it's time for somebody else on that team to kind of step up and take the lead. And we'll get into ads and stuff, but you know, obviously Tyus Jones becomes a priority. He's the point guard now in place of Ja. You know, he was always, we've talked about him before, he's always been considered one of the best backup point guards in the league, but now, I mean, he's the default starting point guard for them, and he's going to have to be their leader, and this is his time to shine. You know, we'll just have to see how well he can do it, you know, kind of carrying things until Ja comes back, and we'll see if and when Ja does return. So everything's up in the air with them.
No, it's definitely an interesting time with most people's playoffs. as far as head-to-head's concerned. For fantasy aspect, there's a lot of stars out this week, especially, and I already see it with my team personally making a big impact. I thought I might be able to upset somebody in the first round, and that doesn't look like it's going to happen. So, yeah, stuff like that with John Morant, not helping anybody as far as their fantasy team is concerned.
I saw today Yahoo gave Ja the injured tag, so at least you can put him on an injured list spot.
That's good.
That at least helps with something.
But yeah, I guess I don't really have any other personal opinions on the Ja Morant stuff. I don't know. It just seems like that team just lacks some veteran leadership or some good influence. And I'm sure there's people there who can do that, but it just doesn't seem like they're there. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess just for anybody who doesn't know, Ja Morant went on, what was it, Instagram?
Instagram Live, I believe.
Instagram Live, and he was caught with a gun. He was at a strip club and just kind of took a video of himself holding up a gun. Not smart, you know, just something that young players, you know, I mean, no players should be doing stuff like that, but especially recording yourself and smiling with it. For anybody who saw the video, it's not good. It's just not a good look. It makes the entire league look bad. And obviously, you know, he's going to pay, you know, a penalty for doing that. You know, he already is, and he will continue to do so. So, yeah, it really hurts his team. And, you know, like I said, he's going to miss at least 6 games. Did you want me to go ahead and get into a couple other injuries with them too?
Yeah. Let's go on.
We'll just go ahead and put him out there. Yeah. So you mentioned Steven Adams. He has a sprained right PCL. He's been out for several weeks now, and they just came out today saying that he's going to be reevaluated in 4 weeks, which means he's done for the regular season.
Correct.
And that's, you know, we've talked about him. I think we talked about him last week. He's a big part of their team. He's a big leader for them, literally and figuratively. He's their center. But I mean, he has so much experience going back to his days with the Thunder. You know, when they were making deep runs in the playoffs, and, you know, now he has the same role for the Grizzlies. So they're going to really miss him. And then another big man that they had on their roster was Brandon Clark. He tore his left Achilles, so he's out for the season. So that's a ton of depth right there that they're losing in their front court. So guys like Xavier Tillman, Santi Aldama, you mentioned Dylan Brooks. All of those guys are going to have to step up. They're going to have to play better. They're going to have to play more consistent, and they're going to have to stay healthy. Otherwise, you know, Memphis is going to slip. They're still 2 games ahead up of the Phoenix Suns. So like we said, Memphis is in third right now. Phoenix is in fourth. I kind of feel like Phoenix could maybe pass them, but we'll get to some news on them as well.
So you said slip in the Phoenix Suns right back to back right there. That was kind of ironic.
Oh, man, that's a good one. Yeah. You know what? Screw it. Let's just go into that. Let's go into Kevin Durant's issue.
Let me grab Dylan Brooks real quick since we were talking about him and get the Memphis stuff over with.
Go for it.
Dylan Brooks is also on the news recently for not a good reason, and he was talking crap about Draymond Green.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
He said, so yeah, we were talking about Memphis and how they like to talk crap. Well, that's exactly what Dylan Brooks does, and he's saying he doesn't like Draymond at all. He just doesn't like Golden State. He doesn't like anything to do with them. Draymond gets away. He talks a lot. So he's saying Draymond talks a lot while he's doing the talking here. Gets away with a lot too. And then he says his game is cool with Golden State, but if you put him anywhere else, you won't even know who Draymond Green is. So that's a lot to say from somebody who hasn't done shit. Oh, I got to put the explicit thing on here now. so who hasn't?
You're not wrong, though.
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
And then Draymond Green actually came out on the Draymond Green podcast, which he has a great platform to set the record straight. And that's basically what he said was, you're a fan. Shut up. You know, I've won 4 championships. So there you go.
And they play each other tonight, March 9th. So, I mean, they both have a chance to kind of put up or shut up.
Yeah. So
should be a great game. I don't know. Go ahead.
Yeah. I was going to say, I just had to throw that out there while we were talking Memphis. Because I actually have to admit, too, I liked Dylan Brooks probably about a year ago or so. I thought he had that I don't know, just game where he kind of filled in spots that Memphis needed. And he also defensively just seemed like, I don't know, he was 110% all the time.
Yeah, he's a tough-nosed guy.
So I like the way he plays, but I hate his attitude. So
yeah, no, I completely agree as far as the, you know, hey, you haven't done anything. You know, I get that he's trying to not be intimidated by these teams and these players who have done stuff in their career and you know, won championships and established themselves. But yeah, there is kind of a line that gets drawn there. And, you know, he toes that line and probably has crossed the line with some of the things that he's said and done. So, but yeah, they'll be on the big stage tonight. They'll be playing against each other. I'm sure it'll be a fierce battle. And, you know, we'll see if the Grizzlies can hang with them, you know, despite all their injuries. But
I just found a quote from Draymond here straight from the podcast. And he says, if you ever wonder why the Memphis Grizzlies is not ready to compete for a championship, look no further than this idiot right here. They're actually depending on this guy to help them win a championship.
Yeah.
So that says a lot there too. Yeah. So and straight up, go Draymond.
The other thing too is Dylan Brooks, he's such an inefficient player for fantasy, especially. Like he can't shoot, turns the ball over a ton. He's just got kind of an ugly fantasy game. I never like using him, even as like a stream. Even in situations like this where they have all these injuries and stuff, I still don't like using him.
He's kind of got an ugly face too, but I can't say much for myself. So if Dylan Brooks ever hears this podcast for some reason, yeah, I said it, and yes, I'm ugly too.
Well, I'll say this. If it's between you or him, I'm taking you. Yeah, I
appreciate it. I definitely do.
Golden State.
Right now, if I could.
Glad you had that one ready to go.
Yeah, I got to get that one a little louder. It's a little too quiet. But
yeah, I just wanted to put it out there too. Golden State right now is in fifth in the Western Conference. They're three games behind the Suns, the slipping Suns.
Yes.
let's go ahead and segue right there into Kevin Durant. He hurt himself in warmups. And it sounds like he has a grade 2 left ankle sprain. It's not officially diagnosed yet, but it sounds like it's possible. Well, it is possible. It sounds like it's probable, which means he's gonna miss anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks. And if that's the case, what a blow! That's absolutely horrendous news for the Suns. You know, they're another team. They're in fourth right now, like we said. They're going to be in the playoffs, but they went out and got Kevin Durant. They really wanted to, you know, go for it all. Like we said, kind of cash in those chips and, you know, go for it. And now, you know, they're going to have to get him back up and running. So, you know, we'll see how severe this injury truly is. But if it is a grade 2 ankle sprain, he's out at least a month.
Yeah.
Especially at his age and everything else that he's been through this season with the multiple injuries he's had with his knees and stuff. It's not good.
Yeah, that whole Suns thing is very interesting. It's just crazy timing. Again, if you're in a playoff and you have him on your team, you're expecting to get a little boost, which I have him.
You're just so screwed. You're absolutely screwed. And it sucks, man. It happens. And especially, you know, for these guys that are in their 30s, that's the risk, you know?
Yeah, we keep talking about all these injuries and stuff, these star players, and it brings you back to the whole getting off subject, but
no,
the whole roto versus head-to-head type stuff, and these are the reasons why roto leagues are awesome. That doesn't affect you as much as, you know, when this happens, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, and there's also DFS, which makes it easier too. We'll get into that kind of talk more in the off season, and I can't wait to do that because, you know, those are great conversations to have. But yeah, for now, you know, anybody in head-to-head leagues in playoffs, yeah, it's a huge blow. It sucks, and Durant's not the only one. We'll get into some other ones here. I'm going to go ahead and pivot back to the Warriors, though, because I've got some good news. You know, we talked about Steph Curry coming back. He did return March 5th. So just a few days ago, he had the left leg injury, missed a bunch of time. But he's looked great. He's played 2 games. He looks like Steph. So hopefully, you know, he's not going to sit out too much more. You know, if they have any back-to-backs coming up, I'm not entirely sure. You know, there's always a risk that he'll sit out a back-to-back. But besides that, hopefully he's good to go here. Hopefully for the fantasy playoffs, you know, it'll be pretty smooth sailing between him and Klay Thompson, Draymond. You know, hopefully those guys come back. One guy who hasn't come back yet is Andrew Wiggins. He's still been out for personal reasons. He's going to miss his 10th straight game tonight, March 9th. So we don't really have any more information on that. You know, hopefully he can get back soon. If you have him, hopefully you've been able to just stash him on IL or IL Plus. If not, though, I don't think you can keep him. I think you just have to, you know, cut him loose and stream that spot if you haven't already. I mean, if you've kept him and you don't have IL spots, I don't know how you're still competing. But in any case,
I was going to say to backtrack on that you said back to back some this coming Friday, St. Patrick's Day, and the Saturday, March 18th after that is their back to back next week. So against the Hawks and then the Grizzlies on the second day.
Yeah, so just, you know, watch out for that. You know, all you can do is just check the news and cross your fingers and hope for the best. How about segueing into a former Warrior, D'Angelo Russell? Got some good news on him. He's been out with a sprained right ankle, but he's returning tonight, March 9th. So that's a big boost for the Lakers. You know, they're fighting for a play-in spot. They're in ninth right now in the West. They're tied with the Pelicans. They are dead even. They own the tiebreaker over New Orleans, so they're in ninth right now. New Orleans is in 10th. They're still without LeBron. We talked about that last week, so you know, they're going to need all the help they can get. That's going to be huge. Hopefully he's good to go rest of the way here and doesn't have to miss any more time.
Yeah, New Orleans, you mentioned. I didn't look it up. I don't know if you did, but Valanciunas, he only played like, what was it, like 7 minutes in Wednesday, March 8th's game. Did anything happen to him, or is that just...
No, they just went away from him. He was looking real bad. He was turning the ball over a ton. Okay. Just a bad matchup for him. I don't expect that to continue, but we've talked about him before. There are going to be games like that where it's just not a good matchup for him, and they're going to go smaller. But, and that's a perfect segue, because they're running out of options in their front court to be able to go too much smaller, because we got some more news on Zion Williamson. He's been out this whole time with a strained right hamstring. He's going to miss another 2 weeks at least. So, you know, we keep talking about him pretty much every week. I don't think he's going to come back. I think the more that he's out, they're just going to be like, you know what? They're running out of time to be able to incorporate him. So it's to the point now where they're probably just going to be like, look, you know, we just can't risk having him come back. We're just going to have to shut him down and just roll with who we have, you know. So hopefully, you know, Brandon Ingram, he's day-to-day right now. Hopefully he's going to be okay. Larry Nance Jr., he has a sprained left ankle. He's going to be reevaluated in 2 weeks, so he's out. They might have to start signing some people because they're running out of bodies.
Yeah, New Orleans is interesting. OKC is interesting too. But why those teams are going the wrong way here at the end of the year, coming in to trying to get into that play-in, but I don't know. I don't even know that.
How about
9,
the Jazz
10.
Too? Jazz have lost four straight. They've fallen way down to 13th.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I think we thought that was gonna happen though, based on the moves they made at the trade deadline and things like that. So I think we expected them to fall out. Speaking of the Jazz, also Walker Kessler has been non-COVID illness, but he was out the other day. And if he's on your fantasy team like he's on mine, that is a huge impact here coming in
the
playoffs.
He's back tonight.
He is back tonight? Okay.
He's back tonight, March 9th. So,
I mean, he misses one game and you're out like four blocks. It's crazy.
Yeah, no, you're right. That sucks. But it's good news for Portland. Portland right now, they're in 12th, but they're only a game behind the Lakers and the Pelicans. You know, they've got all their guys back now. Nurkic came back. I forgot to put him on my note sheet here, but I'll pull him up real quick. I know he didn't play very much. He returned last night, March 8th. They played against Boston, and he played 17 minutes. He had 5 points, 6 boards, nothing else really. You know, it's going to take time to kind of get him, you know, incorporated. He missed 5 weeks with a calf injury. So it's going to take a little bit of time for him to kind of ramp things up, but it's good timing. Cause like we said, you know, they're fighting for a play-in spot and, you know, they got all their, well, they don't have everybody back. We've talked about Anthony Simons. He's going to be out a while. But Dame's obviously cooking. He's been great. And the rest of their team looks pretty good. So, you know, hopefully for them, they can kind of capitalize on some of these other teams, you know, with their situations.
Yeah, no, so. Exactly. Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I think the top kind of eight teams in the West there are probably going to stay there. But that final 9 and 10, that's pretty interesting to see who's going to actually end up there at the end of the
year. Yep, I completely agree with you. You know, we were kind of talking last week off air a little bit. I kind of feel like Portland's going to make their way in there. I just think the way Dame's playing, you know, knock on wood, he stays healthy. I think the way he's playing, and if they could get Nurkic to at least get somewhat back to where he was, I think that'll probably be enough for them to push their way into the play-in. So, you know, the Lakers, the Pelicans, they're going to be hanging on for dear life. I feel like Portland gets in there, and then after that, it's a toss-up between those other teams. I kind of feel like the Lakers will find a way in, but it's going to be a crapshoot, you know,
yeah,
between all those teams.
Yeah, I feel like LA will get in there too, whether it's through some calls helping them get in there. The NBA will want the Lakers somehow.
I was going to say that too.
In the play-in at least.
Yeah, and who knows? You know, maybe LeBron finds a way to get back early or something. And
exactly.
Pull a Willis Reed type of thing. Who knows? Yeah. Next guy I had on my list is Robert Williams III. He has a left hamstring strain. He's hoping to return next week, but you know, they're going to be really cautious with him, you know, just have him take their time, you know, take his time. They're at the top, you know, they're battling Milwaukee. They've fallen to second place right now in the East. You know, we've talked about them all year between, you know, the Celtics and the Bucks, you know, battling for that top spot.
Yeah.
It's those two teams. You know, I think Philly has a chance to kind of compete with those guys too. But, you know, I think one of those three teams for sure comes out of the East. So,
yeah. Philly's weird. Being 43-22 right now as we record this. And that's pretty good. But yet, to me, they still feel so inconsistent. I feel like.
Yeah. They've won three in a row. They're 7-3 in their last 10. So, yeah.
I don't trust them at all to do anything. And it's the same as Cleveland. Every time I get up on Cleveland, get kind of high on Cleveland, I'm like, oh, they could do something. They let me down. So
it all comes down to health, man.
I mean, New York right now looks better than Cleveland and Philadelphia. So yeah. Even though they lost to, Charlotte the other night? So whatever.
That's a tough loss. Yeah. But, yeah, so the Celtics, they're just going to, you know, they're going to be cautious with everybody. I had Al Horford in one of my leagues, and I actually dropped him at the beginning of the week because he sat out and I didn't want to sit on him because they only played two other games this week. They played last night against Portland and he did have a good game last night, March 8th. But their next game is the 11th at the Hawks, and that's it for this week. So those are the kinds of choices and decisions that you have to make in the fantasy playoffs. You have to kind of look at the schedules and say, can I afford to sit on this guy if I don't even know he's going to play? Or do I stream that spot so that I have guys going and can at least accumulate some kind of stats?
I actually missed out. I wanted to pick up DeLon right at the end of last week to use as a streamer. Somebody else picked him up the day before. I wanted to pick him up, and he's put up some nice numbers across the board to really help out.
He has. We talked about him last week. He was basically my top pickup last week. Now, Monte Morris did return, and I'm glad you reminded me of that. I didn't have that on my list here either. He did return. He played last night, March 8th. He had 16. He played 16 minutes. He had 5 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds, and a 3-pointer. You know, so that might turn into kind of a timeshare type of situation between he and Wright. But like you said, I mean, games are games. And they had a nice schedule going there. They had a nice little back-to-back stretch, March 7th and March 8th. They play again tomorrow, March 10th. They play March 12th. And they play March 14th. So every other day, you know, for the next 6 days.
And who do they play? Basically, Washington has some favorable opponents, right? I can't remember.
Yeah, so they played Atlanta at home last night, and they play them again tomorrow, March 10th. Then they go to Philly on the 12th, and then they come home on the 14th, and they play against the Pistons. So
okay, yeah, yeah.
And they also played the Pistons March 7th at Detroit. Yeah. So, yeah, that's just a good, solid stretch right there. I streamed a couple other Wizards, too. I picked up Avdija and Corey Kispert. So yep. That was kind of cool. But, yeah, those are the kinds of things that you got to do in the fantasy playoffs. You got to think about those kinds of moves, and you got to really pay attention to the schedule. So, but that's what Boston's doing, and so they're going to be cautious with all their guys. You know, anybody who gets any kind of little nicks and stuff like that, they'll just sit them.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if anybody else does this, but right in the morning, I go on and find anybody who's out or game time decision, and if I have IL plus spots, throw them all on there right in the morning. So that way, you know, you can keep them there and pick things up if you need
to. That's exactly what you should do if you're in a league that has IL plus spots. I don't personally play in leagues that use IL plus. I've talked about it before. I'm not a big fan of those. But if you have them, definitely utilize them. And like you said, get on there early before statuses get changed and stuff like that. Because then you can, you know, throw those guys on IL plus and then use those spots to stream. And that's huge, especially if you go and grab a guy that's playing that day and the next day. That's two free games, you know, for somebody who might wind up not even missing any more time. So that's awesome. That's the thing to do. That's a smart move. So.
Boom, shagalaga.
That's right.
Exactly.
Nope, I love it.
Yep. PJ Washington, we talked about him last week.
Yes, we did.
We got some lookalike comparisons there. He had a sprained right foot, but he returned March 5th. He's looked pretty good. You know, we've talked a lot about Charlotte. I don't trust any of those guys, but as long as they're playing, you can use them and just, you know, take whatever you can get from them. You know, he's played two games and, you know, basically putting up double-digit points, close to double-digit boards, playing minutes in the 30s. I mean, that's all you can ask for right now. So use him, but don't be shocked at any point if he winds up getting either hurt again or just benched or sat or even shut down. Speaking of shutdowns and tanking, our Detroit Pistons, there's a lot going on with these guys right now. Bojan Bogdanović has a quote-unquote Achilles injury. Could be done for the season. Isaiah Stewart, we talked about him last week. He was day-to-day. He has hip and left shoulder injuries and is officially out 3 to 4 weeks. I think he's out for the rest of the year. I think he's just done. But some good news, Jalen Duren, we talked about him last week, has the bilateral ankle soreness. He is returning tonight, March 9th. So that whole situation with him and James Wiseman and Marvin Bagley, we'll kind of have to see how the minutes go now that those three are all back and in the rotation. We'll have to kind of see how that impacts fantasy. You know, if you have any of those guys, you can trot them out there tonight and just kind of see how it goes. But I'm not overly confident in any of those guys if they're all sharing time together. But
I agree. Yeah, I think they're all really non-usable at this point.
Yeah, we'll see how it plays out. Next guy on my list here is Wendell Carter Jr. He has left hip soreness for the Orlando Magic. He's day-to-day right now. He's missed a couple games. Looks like he's going to miss tonight's game, March 9th, against Utah. That'll be his third game. And then they play again on the 11th against Miami at home. So hopefully he can return for that one. There hasn't been any kind of update, so we'll see. If he has a setback or something, we'll let you know. But obviously, just turn to one of those other many big men that they have on their roster and hope for the best.
Exactly.
This is a guy that really hasn't been relevant in fantasy, but I want to bring him up because he has potential to be down the stretch here, and that's Alexei Pokushevsky for the Thunder. He's been out almost the entire year with a left tibial fracture. He was assigned to the Thunder's G League affiliate, the OKC Blue. So that's good news because, you know, we've talked about them too. They've been sitting people and they shut down Kendrick Williams already, but they've sat Shea Gilgeous-Alexander a couple times here. And who else am I forgetting? Jalen Williams. Jalen Williams has been out the last two games. He's day-to-day. And they don't have any depth on their roster. So any one player that sits out for them impacts their whole team substantially. So if Poku comes back, he could have some value because they don't have a lot of big guys. They don't have a lot of guys left in their front court. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. But
I was going to say with OKC too, Giddy has not been that fantastic as of late either. So he hasn't been he was really good the last few months where he was just looking close to like triple doubles a lot of the time. He was getting really close to that. And now he's kind of dropped off a little bit. But yeah, well, with other people out.
He's looked good in March here. He had a good stretch when SGA was out. But his last game last night at Phoenix, he did not. I mean, they got destroyed. They lost 132 to 101. So he only played 23 minutes. He had 10 points, 7 boards, 5 assists, and 2 steals, and a 3. But he only shot 25% from the field, and he had 3 turnovers. So that's not going to come.
Yeah, but yeah, I guess overall from a fantasy standpoint, he's probably looking pretty good. But I'm probably looking at more from a betting standpoint where he's getting inconsistent with different props and things like that. So
good point.
Yeah, I guess maybe I'm a little off on that assessment. But
I mean, I'm not personally real big in betting, but if I was, I would not even touch the Thunder because, you know, if you want any consistency, don't look at that team.
Yeah. There was a point, though, if you look through February and you look at Giddy, it probably shows him about 15 points, 5 assists, and 5 rebounds almost every game. you could almost start betting on that. Yeah. So he was the only model of consistency they had for a while.
Yeah. In terms of rebounds and assists, he's pretty consistently getting over 5. So that's pretty good. But you're right. I mean, he's just, you know, that whole team, they're just not going to be consistent enough. So, and then we mentioned this last week, but Colin Sexton, he's still out with the strained left hamstring. He's going to be out another week. So he's a guy that I think could get shut down. You know, we talked about the Jazz already. They're, you know, starting to look like they might be switching into the tank mode. So if you have Sexton, hopefully you can just stash him on IL. But I wouldn't be totally shocked if he winds up being done for the year. He's not a great fantasy player anyways. He's another one that's very inefficient. Not the prettiest fantasy game for him. So I've got a list of day-to-day guys. You want me to just kind of read these off?
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
So same thing. These are
I was laughing at something on Twitter again. My bad.
No, you're good. So yeah, I'll just read through these guys. They're all day-to-day. Hopefully shouldn't be out too long. But SGA, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, he missed the last game, so, you know, we'll see what happens with him. Luka, you know, we should probably talk about this one a little bit. Looked like he avoided a serious injury. Yeah, he had an MRI on a strained left thigh. It came back clean, so they're saying he's day-to-day. Hopefully he doesn't miss any time. He does go the Mavericks play the Grizzlies on March 11th and March 13th. They play at Memphis on the 11th, and they play at Dallas on the 13th. So, you know, maybe he winds up sitting one or two of those games. They also go to San Antonio on the 15th. So that's a stretch there where, depending on how he feels and how they feel, they might be cautious with him. But I don't think he's going to miss much more time than that, if he even misses any time. So hopefully, fingers crossed, he's good. And then the other guys I have on my list are Nick Claxton, Jalen Brunson, Cam Johnson, Jalen Williams, like we mentioned, with the Thunder, Spencer Dinwiddie, Brandon Ingram, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Kevin Porter Jr., Royce O'Neal, Jordan Clarkson, and Zach Collins. Those guys are all day-to-day. And then just as far as transactions go, I just wanted to bring up a couple guys that we've talked about lately. Chris Dunn with the Jazz, you know, with Sexton being out, you know, Dunn is a priority in fantasy right now. He signed a second 10-day contract, which we thought would happen. So we called that one. We also called Goran Dragic to Milwaukee. He did officially sign with the Bucks for the rest of the season. And then another guy that we mentioned last week was Nerlens Noel. You know, he got waived by the Pistons. He wound up signing with the Brooklyn Nets, only on a 10-day contract, but I wouldn't be shocked if that winds up becoming a rest of season deal.
Yeah.
Yep. So
yeah, I guess I have nothing to add to those day-to-days.
Yeah. And as far as ads go, I mean, at this point, we're to the point in the season where there aren't any like clear ads. It's all about streaming. It's all about just finding guys that have good schedules. You want to hunt those like back-to-back situations. You just want to maximize those roster spots. But like we mentioned at the top of the show, the Grizzlies, you know, Tyus Jones, if he's out there in any league, he's a must add, must keep. And then as far as their front court players, I'm all about streaming any of them. Tillman, Aldama, maybe even Dylan Brooks. That's, you know, we talked about how that can be risky in multiple ways, but
yeah,
you know, if you need bodies and they're out there, there are options for you.
I was going to say, I think you also have the tab up of the fantasy schedule. I think there's, to looking ahead to next week, you said there was a few teams that only had two games, I believe.
Yes, the Charlotte Hornets, the New York Knicks, and the Utah Jazz. All three of them only go twice next week. So those may be teams to avoid.
Yep. Cool.
Which stinks because, like you said, with the Knicks, they've been hot.
Oh, yeah.
Emmanuel Quickly has been fantastic. Anybody who picked him up or has been streaming him, he's been great.
I've actually had him solidly on my roster spot in a roster spot for a while.
Nice.
I love him. I think he's great.
Well, if you somehow make it to the next round, he might be a guy you might have to think about cutting.
I was going to say, what's really funny about league I'm in, I think it was only eight teams. I was in sixth place, so I just made it in the playoffs, way below the first place team. But if you went, so our playoffs started this week, but the last week of the regular season for us was last week, and I took my stats overall and compared them to every team, and I would have beat any team in our league last week, I believe.
Nice.
And you go to this week, getting crushed, absolutely crushed. So.
Well, like you said, it's all the DNPs.
I know. It's crazy. I got Durant. I got, you know,
it's all these guys Kessler getting hurt, resting, sitting games.
Yeah, it's
tough. It sucks. You got to stay on top of the news. You got to be ready, and you got to maximize your moves. You know, if you're in a league that has limits, you have to be really calculated about, you know, when you're clicking that add button.
Oh, yeah. I did a lot of mistakes there, too. And the league I'm in has limited moves. So I think there's 70 we can make here per year. I'm at 62. I've only got eight more to make. And so even if right now I've lost all these people, so I need to add people just to match the amount of games that my opponent has.
Yeah.
And if I do squeak through somehow, which I'm pretty 99.9% sure, your brother will kick my butt. but if I do squeak through, I will have no adds, no moves that I can make at all for the second round. So
that sucks.
It's stupid. But anyways, I was going to say just a couple news things I didn't get to. I thought maybe we'd mention the Toronto Raptors. We didn't. There was no injuries or anything there, which, you know, that's kind of surprising that the Raptors don't have any injuries the way they play people so many minutes and things like
good
that.
Point.
But there isn't. But Fred VanVleet was also, I think it was yesterday, so Wednesday the 8th, there's a nice video out there of him criticizing the officials, and probably rightfully so. We've seen a lot of bad officiating in this year alone, so there's a video out there, check it out. It's got a bunch of profanity. It's awesome. He's just dogging, and he even calls out one referee specifically, saying, you know, this is a guy that, you know, is always giving me texts, and it's only this guy, and it's, you know, they're changing the game, and it sucks. So
yeah, and he's not the only one who's voiced his displeasure. I know Marcus Smart came out and said, everything that Fred VanVleet said is true. And I know Dame Lillard had some stuff to say after playing the Pistons. That was a tight one. And, you know, a lot of questionable calls.
Yep.
But they wound up winning that game at Detroit. They won 110-104, and he had a fantastic game. He had 31 points, 13 boards, 12 assists, 6 threes. He had a steal, a block, you know, but they had to grind it out, you know. And credit to the Pistons, you know, I don't want to be a homer or anything, and obviously Pistons are horrible, but
yeah.
Credit to them that, like, they're as much as they're tanking, we all know that they're, you know, trying to put themselves in the best position to get the best lottery pick. Their players are going out there. The ones that are still left, they're going out there and they're trying. They're playing hard, and that's all you can ask for. And like we said, too, they're playing their young guys. They're putting all these guys out there. They're taking flyers on people and just tossing them out there and just letting them go. And yeah. It's been cool to see, you know, just that's all you can ask for.
No,
as a bad team that's not, you know, really playing for anything right now. Some of those guys are just trying to advance in their careers. You know, they're just trying to, you know, get to the next stage of their career. And this is the time to do that. You know, this is the time to kind of prove yourself. You know, when you're out there, you're not only showing your team, but you're showing the rest of the league what you can do. So, you know, guys like Isaiah Livers and, you know, Killian Hayes, we've talked about him. You know, this is huge opportunity for him with all the injuries right now in the backcourt. Your boy, Jaden Ivey.
Yep.
You know, he's been looking
great. Boiler up.
Yep. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, you mentioned, Dame Lillard crushing it. And it made me think of one thing, that he's not even in the top six to be MVP this year. And I you just see what he's doing day in and day out. And it's like, how is he not even there? Like, Devin Booker's number six, I think, right now, as far as.
Yeah, I think some of it might be because he did miss a big stretch of time. You know, they're probably dinging him for that a little bit. No, but you're,
I guess,
right,
Devin,
man.
Booker did too.
Yeah, so, no, you're right. Not, no, you're absolutely right. And a lot of
Lillard's
record.
Actually, it looks like Booker and Lillard are even there at plus 24,000. So,
well, you know, too, man, a lot of it's the record. They're going to reward the teams that are winning.
And I hate it. But now that I'm thinking about MVP stuff, too, I forgot to mention that Kendrick Perkins talked about the MVP thing with Jokic. There's a lot of stuff about that going around. So he was talking about that on ESPN, and he started talking about that Jokic would win it again because of racist implications, that they want a white guy to win the MVP and things like that.
Yeah.
I think we talked about it also off air, that, you know, J.J. Redick kind of chimed in there, and he was like, You're nuts. And I think ESPN, even on some show, I can't remember what show it was, they issued like some apologies for what Kendrick Perkins had said. It was crazy. But even they had tweets. He was going back and forth with, you know, ex-coach George Karl, going back and forth, and they were kind of getting into it a little bit. So if you have time, go check out some of those tweets. They're awesome.
Yeah,
I can't.
Sure.
It's funny because I can't tell if they're like really going at it, because you can't really, through the words, if you take it in a certain context, it's like, wow, they're really, you know, bickering at each other. And then but then, you know, towards the end of one of the tweets, there's like a smiley face from George Karl or something. So it's like, are they really heated, or is this just a,
he's got a really interesting personality.
He does.
He gets on there and just lets people have it. He doesn't hold back. I think he's reached a point in his life where he's just, you know, comfortable with who he is and what he has to say. And
yeah,
I can respect him for that, but he does have to be careful.
Yeah. It's kind of like a Greg Popovich type thing.
Yeah. He'll be next.
Yeah,
for sure. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting race for MVP. You know, we've talked about it before. I think Jokic and Embiid are going to be at the top there.
Giannis is up there. I think
Giannis
three.
Is up there for sure. I think a guy that we haven't talked about much since more like the beginning of the year, Jason Tatum. You know, at the very beginning, he was a favorite to win it. Yeah. And like his name's kind of slipped a little bit. I think he still deserves to at least be mentioned, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think he's still in top six if I remember right, but I know I got it here somewhere.
And we still have another month to go of the regular season. So I mean, if one of those players, if one of their teams gets real hot here down the stretch, that's only gonna help their odds.
Yeah, it's Jokic, Embiid, Giannis, Tatum, Doncic, Booker, and Lillard in that order, but it's way in Jokic's favor.
Yeah. Yeah, statistically for sure.
Yeah, my boy Walker Kessler dropped on his rookie of the year odds too. He's down to fourth now.
Yeah, that sucks. A lot of that has to do probably with record as well. But yeah, Denver, they've been at the top of the West. So.
Yep. Yeah, rookie of the year, it's Banchero now almost all the way. He's been producing pretty well.
Yeah, he's just been too good. We talked about it before.
Yep. But yeah. No, I think that's about. Oh, just one thing as far as betting is concerned. If you like betting on first baskets, I think it was FanDuel and DraftKings both didn't have it where it was a first team basket score, but I know MGM had it for sure. But now FanDuel actually has that. So not just the first basket of the game, but the first basket for a select team. So you can make that bet now. It's a fun bet. It pays out pretty well. So
good deal.
But yeah, I don't know. You got anything else there?
That's all I got.
Time to go, Maryland.
All right. All right, let's see what I got here. All right. So I'm going to give myself some time. I didn't give us enough time last episode. So again, we thank everybody for listening to Mattis Podman. You can find new episodes every Thursday. You can find us on Twitter at Mattis Podman. If you're into sports betting, as we mentioned on the top of the podcast, go check out outlier.bet. You can get a free 7-day trial. There's a link pinned to the top of our Twitter page. What else there? Oh, we got to thank Spotify. I don't have to thank Anchor anymore because they're not called Anchor any longer. So Spotify, iTunes, Riverside FM, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, everybody allows us to share the podcast. Through their platforms, and we always encourage you to leave a review. We'd like reviews. We don't get that many, so give us a review, leave us a message, support our podcasts if you like what you hear.
Thanks again, Scott.
All right, thank you.
And Miss Parliament.